happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We all the men in our church, we thank you for all the great ways that you take care of us, take care of our kids, take care of our church. So thank you. We hope you have a very special day. A few announcements we'll make as we begin. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple way we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information. We ask that send it down so everybody on the pew has a chance to fill that out. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things. It's summer, and that means lots of things happening in the life of our church. Reminder, today we are having children's time, so after that first hymn, the kids come on down. Also, no activities tonight. But the youth schedule for the summer begins tomorrow with a whitewater rafting trip. No Wednesday night activities for the church. The youth will be meeting from 9 to 11 on Wednesday night. We have preschool day camp that starts on Thursday. Sports camp, which starts the following week. And so many things are happening. We are in need of assistance for the preschool day camp. If you're able to provide nursery work, nursery workers for that 9 to 12 camp. It's every Thursday for the next 6 weeks. And so if you're able to help with that, if you could let me know, we just need to fill in week by week. That would be very helpful for us. We're also in the middle of our home mission project. Big Raj, you got an announcement?
I do.
All right. Need a mic?
No.
No. Okay.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. It's a little week. Well, we had a fabulous day yesterday on our Happyland house. I was home at 12:30 when we had the flooring system in. And I got 25 people there and they worked great. So we need your help again this coming Saturday. We've only got a few signs up. We need 30 people to fill all the walls. So please take time to sign up and be there on Saturday. Pretty bad when you can't rebuild Friday at all. It's not too late.
As we work our way through the home project, there are some age requirements for certain days. This Saturday, we're going to have something for everyone at the Habitat Warehouse. So come on, everybody. We'll be building walls. And we also have projects for the children that we'll be doing. So we're looking forward to a great, great day for the home project. Flowers here in the organ are for the Monford family. Just wanted to brighten up the church today as we remember a very special man. We're very thankful for the Monford family and that gift this morning. Also, College Parkers will be having a meeting, their monthly meeting this Thursday. And I think other things that are listed there in your bulletin and for upcoming events and opportunities for the week. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, you gave us your information just a moment ago on the pew pad. We appreciate that. But if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will find you and give you a packet of information. And inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Had the opportunity yesterday to spend some time at the Coliseum and watched three graduating classes walk across that stage. It's a very special time for moms and dads. It's a very scary time for moms and dads. We want to remember our dads today, and I heard somebody say it, wishing somebody a happy Father's Day. They said, "Happy birthday, dads," because really, when your children are born, that's when you come to life. That's what you know life is about when you have a kid. Whether they're graduating from high school or you get to take them to Tweetsie because Thomas is there. Those are special moments for dads. But how even more so does our Heavenly Father thankful to be in the presence of his children? That's why we've come to worship today, because our Heavenly Father wants to be with you and with me. Let's prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, great are you, our Lord, our Father, our protector, our creator. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who showed the world what it means to be in relationship with you. And Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is your presence in our world. Father, you have taken care of all of our needs, as a good father does. You have disciplined us when we needed it. You have forgiven us when we needed it. You have sustained us always. And you have given us purpose. Our purpose for this day and this moment is to worship you. Be in this place, we pray. For only in your presence does our lives make sense. In Jesus' name we pray.
Oh,
all the kids come on down. I don't know where the fours and fives are, but that's okay. Hi. My mic might be messing. I knew there was Jared.
As we continue to give thanks for fathers, we also, of course, continue to glorify our Lord God, our Holy Father. In line with the call to worship, great is the Lord Almighty. Our hymn, God our Father, we adore thee. And then we'll be singing Glorify Thy Name. So hear more words of praise to our God from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then as we turn over to 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration and encourage one another. Be of one mind and live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Pray with me. Gracious Father, we come to you this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning, as we celebrate Father's Day. We thank you for fathers. We thank you for their guidance, for their love, and their support. We thank you for fathers who give their all for all our children. Please remind all us fathers, we need to cherish all of our children. We thank you this morning for being our perfect Father, for your perfect love, for your perfect Spirit, for your perfect grace. We thank you mostly for the gift you've given us in your perfect Son, Jesus. We pray that you'll accept our gifts this morning and use them to touch the lives of someone who needs to know there's victory in Jesus. For it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
That's beautiful. It's really kind of ironic that today is Trinity Sunday. I don't know if you're aware of that, but in the cycle of the church year, there's certain Sundays that we celebrate, and obviously Christmas and Easter and are all kind of involved in that if Christmas happens to fall on a Sunday. And there's Pentecost, and then one of those days is Trinity Sunday. And Trinity Sunday is that day in the church year where we pause from the usual kind of stories and sermons and remember that we serve an amazing God, a triune God, that is a three-in-one God. Now, obviously, it's also Father's Day. And as such, you know, pastors feel this need to say something profound about the nature of a good father, or to be on track with Trinity Sunday, a Godfather, a Father God, a Heavenly Father. So as I thought about that, I thought, you know, it'd be really good for us to mesh those two. And if you'll be patient with me, what I'm going to try to do is kind of work back and forth between the scriptural scenario and an example that I found, an example that I think is relevant for our discussion today. And I'll try to warn you as I flip-flop back and forth, so you really got to kind of stay engaged with me this morning. No naps. You can get those when we get done. Stay with me, and I think it will be meaningful for you. And as we start in our discussion, first of all, before we read our scripture in just a moment, I want you to understand that the God that we serve is a God of action. And the Holy Trinity is about action. It's about doing. It's about loving. It's about teaching. It's about saving. And as I searched for that perfect story, that perfect example, I found, may not be perfect, but it's pretty good. It's an example of a gentleman named E.B. Garner, who lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Loves to fish. Loves to fish. He also likes to teach others how to fish. He's all about doing. He's all about teaching other people. And at age 64, he began running fishing clinics at a nearby lagoon. Now, he started with just 12 kids. Kind of an ironic number if you think about it. He started with 12. Many of those 12 were very troubled. And he found out that they were not very good in school. And he found out that perhaps the reason for that was that they came from very difficult family situations, very tough family life. Well, one of these boys that he began with had been skipping school and getting into a lot of trouble. And when Garner heard of the boy's struggles, he did this. And I'm going to read it to you directly from the quote of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on June 12th, 2011. It says this, and he's quoting Mr. Garner. He said, "I told him, if he stopped acting like a fool, I'd take him fishing after the school year." Well, a month later, the boy's mother asked Garner what he said because her son made an amazing turnaround. He had passed all of his final tests and had not missed a day of school over the last 4 weeks. That summer, Garner took the boy fishing often. No doubt. Other children from the neighborhood found out what was going on. They joined in. And Garner found himself cast into the teaching role from that point forward. Now he runs this free fishing clinic every year. And you say, well, what is it about this story that clicked for you? Well, as I thought about the scenario of fishing, it just made sense. Because you see, like Garner, or perhaps in reverse of that, the Holy Spirit likes to fish. Holy Spirit likes to fish. Differently than we may think. Like Gardner, the Spirit is all about teaching and gathering others. It's all about giving life, and it's all done in the name of love and through actions that express love. Gardner's story, I believe, for me, helps me begin to understand the nature of the work of God, the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And so this Holy Trinity Sunday, we have some unique verses. Our lectionary reading is very unique, but it fits our theme. Let me read them to you. It's a well-known passage of Scripture. You probably walked in and looked at the bulletin and go, oh, I know what that is. I know what that is. What does that have to do with fishing? It has everything. Matthew 28, verses 16 and following. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, get this next phrase, but some doubted. How? After all they had seen and witnessed, how could they? But they did. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Listen to that again. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What kind of authority does that encompass? All authority. We serve an awesome God. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Literally translated, therefore, as you go, while you're going, since you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work, doing, loving, teaching, saving, and now we are instructed to do the very same thing. It's time to go fishing, is a loose translation of these verses. It's time to get busy. This is God's work. This is Holy Trinity work, and it's time for us to take up that work. Too often, I think we think about God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as kind of proper names, you know, kind of static nouns, just helpful labels. But I understand clearly the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are about doing, they're about loving, they're about teaching. Again, the God we serve is a God of action. God created. God sent Jesus to save. Jesus lived, served, died, and rose again. And God's Holy Spirit has been creating since the beginning of time and now comes to create the Christian community by bringing Christ to the world. And understand, when it says that the Holy Spirit was sent to us, true, to walk beside us, yes, paraclete, beside us, but it also, Jesus said, we're sending you the Holy Spirit to make you one. To make you one. To allow you to be empowered to do the work that Jesus started among you. To make us one in our purpose. One in our strength. And when we attempt to divide the body of Christ, we're flying in the face of what the Holy Spirit was sent for. When we get sidetracked from what God wants us to do as the body, we're flying in the face of what the Father desires for us. Mr. Gardner isn't interested in calling attention to himself with these free fishing clinics any more than we should draw attention to ourselves as we act upon what God has for us to do. Mr. Gardner just loves to fish. And he's discovered that fishing is good for kids. One year after his clinic started, he went from 12 to 325. Now just think about that. If you're a fisherman, and you got 325 hooks in some process of 325 kids out there slinging hooks. And each of these kids receive free instruction, free equipment, and a free lunch, provided they'll set their rod and reel down long enough to eat their lunch. It's still free for them. And Garner is in this for the good of the kids. He's in it for the love of family. He's in it for the love of the sport as well as the sake of the community. And so here's where the personal application comes for us as dads. And when I say dads, understand, I'm talking about all men here. Because whether you're a biological father or not, you're a dad in this congregation. We treat you as such and we trust you as such. To be fathers and grandfathers and male figures, to love our kids. And we're all in this together. We need all of us to do it. So dads, the same should be said for us. We should be in it to help build the community. The community of Christ, the body of Christ. So what is it about fishing that we are to be about? Well, I don't know what it is, to be honest, that it is for you and your children. But I am confident there is some activity that your children would love to do with you. It may be playing Barbies. It may be having a tea party. It may be going to pick out a pair of basketball shoes. It may be training your daughter to get ready for dance tryouts. It may be with your son, teaching him to throw a baseball or throw a football or swing a bat or go play paintball, or whatever it may involve. See, it's different. It's different for every father and child. But there is something that your child wants to do with you just to be with you. And if you're not watching, if you're not paying attention, you will miss those moments. And it may or may not be fishing in the literal sense, but it's about fishing. Spending time. Just being together. Find it. Do it. Your kids are not at home as long as you think they're going to be, or maybe counting on being. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. So take a lesson in action from the Holy Trinity. God the Father acts in creation, in Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit for our good and for the love of the world. God the Father gives freely, so freely that he gives up Jesus to the cross. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. God sent his only child, his only son. As much as I love you all, I could not do that. I would give myself, but I could not give you my child. I will not give you my child. So I cannot, intellectually, I cannot understand how God the Father can do that, how he can love so perfectly that he would give up Jesus for us. So freely he loves that when it seemed that sin and death and the devil had won, God the Father unselfishly gives Jesus back to us and to the world. Then through the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, God keeps on giving. And that giving consists of faith and understanding for each and every one of us. But we've got to be faithful to take that message out. And that's what these verses are about. That's what it means to be fishers of men, fishers of people, taking the message, the good news to everyone. Fishing is a way of life. And over the span of 13 years, Garner's free fishing clinics grew 2,700%. Now he has family, he has friends, the community, the Department of Natural Resources, and tons of volunteers that are at his summer fishing clinics. And his love of fishing, and more importantly, his love of family, his love of kids, his love of community have generated and energized a great deal of cooperation in his town. And more importantly, lives have been changed for the better. Is it all about Gardner? No, it's about him being used in a way to equip others, to teach others, to encourage families, to encourage parents to spend time with their kids. And he started with just how many? 12. That scenario should sound pretty familiar to us. Speaking of 12, the good news of Jesus Christ spread from disciples to peoples and nations all around the world. We could say that God continues to be at work through the Holy Spirit, holding the Trinity's brand of free fishing clinics. Yeah. Everywhere. Everywhere that God's word is taught and shared and celebrated. You see, fathers, dads, God's word should be taught at home too. Everywhere, but it should start at home. You see, it's not the church's job to do all the Christian education of your child. Sorry, it's not. Now, granted, we're in a partnership. But partnership implies that both people within the partnership or all those that are involved in the partnership are putting forth their best effort to do their part in the relationship. We're partners in ministry. But you need to be a good partner too, dads. It starts in the home. Starts in the home. We are to be the hands, the feet, the voice of the good news to our families first and then out into the world. You know, there's no doubt about it, really. There's no doubt about it. The power of God the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but by his power, we are cast into the role of fishing, of teaching. That's our job. And the question is whether you'll be a good fisher or a bad fisher, whether you'll be a good teacher or a bad teacher. We're called to make disciples, to baptize, to teach. That's what Jesus said. And the question is, are we doing that? And if not, why not? And today, the Holy Trinity Sunday, today, Father's Day, is a good opportunity for us to pause, not just dads, but all of us, to pause and to think about what we're doing to bring God's love and His forgiveness and His understanding and His faith into our families and into all people. And what are we doing to nurture it in our own lives? Ow. Ouch. What are we doing to nurture it in our own lives? Our words and our actions teach. Whether we mean for them to or not, they do. You see, attending worship, being a part of the corporate body, being a part of the body to work and worship together is a good example. Doing anything else, whatever that may be on Sunday mornings, in place of worship, sets a bad example. Our concern for and our generosity toward others in need teaches Christian love. Our avoidance and neglect of the needy teaches just the opposite. You see where I'm going? When we open our Bible, when we open these scriptures and we read and we study and we share them with others, we foster understanding and growth. When our Bibles lie unused and gathering dust, we have missed out. We have lost an opportunity to learn and to grow. At one of Garner's fishing clinics, a little girl, 9-year-old named Kadia, made her first toss with a spin cast outfit, sailed out there, dropped in the water, and the ever watchful eye of Mr. Garner said, "Perfect. You're going to be teaching someday. You're going to be teaching others someday how to do this." Likewise, for us, God's Spirit blesses our efforts, speaking words of encouragement and promise, and He whispers in our ears, "You're going to be teaching this. You're going to be teaching this. Listen, be obedient, be thankful." Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for the lesson from Scripture. We thank You for the words of Your Son as He exhorted us to, as we're going, to teach, to make disciples, to share with others what You've done in our lives. God, forgive us when we let anything stand in the way of that. Forgive us when we become so absorbed by who we are and what we want that we miss those opportunities, not only with our own children, but other people, everywhere, in all walks of life, to have a little fishing trip with them. Forgive us when we miss those opportunities. But Father, as we refocus and reprioritize today, we ask that You give us more of those opportunities and that we will not miss them this time. God, we love You. You know we do. You know our hearts. But sometimes we just get distracted. Help us to love You so much and desire to please You so much that we become more at one with Your Spirit as You guide us and as we journey together as the body of Christ. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You are supposed to be here today. God knew from the beginning of eternity that you would be here today. There may be somebody here this morning that does not have a personal relationship with Christ. And as I've been speaking these words, you go, "Wow, I don't have that kind of relationship." I'll be here in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in just a minute. If that's you and you want to talk about your relationship with Christ, I'll be glad to talk with you. Or you can call me this week. We'll get together and talk about it. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. If you're here and you say, "Raymond, I am a believer, but I've gotten a little bit sidetracked, and I just want you to pray for me. Pray for me that I'll know better what it is I'm supposed to do, and I'll be more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit." Certainly you can pray and square the way with God right where you're seated or standing, or you can come, and I'll be glad to pray with you here. If you're here and you say, "I'd like to be a part of this church in a, quote, official way, I'd like to be a member of College Park," there's several ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.